What's your little anecdote, Chad?
I was just gonna say that we should probably. It would be really funny if we had like a skip intro button like they have on Netflix for this.
Where you can skip us like bullshitting at the beginning.
Yeah, it's just like I don't want to hear them talk about whatever they're talking about.
So the only issue with that, though, is that we bullshit basically the entire episode
Yeah,
and
I was gonna say that. You hit skip intro and end up skipping the whole episode.
yep. Just takes you to another podcast where they actually talk about stuff.
See, I would rig that to like go to terrible podcasts. Like, that would be like, oh, I'm gonna skip the intro, and then it skips the episode and goes to like a Republican podcast.
A Republican podcast.
Like, a staunch Republican podcast where they just say all kinds of crazy stuff. You're like, what?
So basically, like,
Fox News?
yeah, who's the one guy who's like angry all the time? Ugh, I don't care.
That
Never
could be
mind.
any white guy who
Yeah,
talks
he's
about
like,
politics.
ugh, never mind. I don't want to talk about this. Okay.
Anyway, welcome back to It's 2 a.m., not Politico.
Not your local news station.
I'm Chad.
I'm Grace. We're both
Today.
looking at our eyebrows right now.
That's true. Mine are still green.
Mine are not.
God, Grace, keep up with the colored eyebrows.
Sorry. I wear glasses now and they block them, so I don't really care about my eyebrows these days.
So, today's episode is not about eyebrows.
Is that?
Well, that would be fun. We could do like a whole episode on iconic eyebrows in television.
Let's do it. I love that.
Top of the list, Tyler Hoechlin.
100%. Matt Chin-Amick from of Twin Peaks and Riverdale fame.
Yes, all both live levies. Levies? Levy?
Anyway.
Yes, so today's episode is actually about ensemble cast.
Ensemble.
Ensemble.
Bleh.
Is that a French word?
Yeah.
Oh. So I guess we were pronouncing it correctly. Yeah, don't you know French?
What?
I said, don't you know French?
Sure.
All I know about French is I took literally one class and quit that afternoon.
That was me with Russian.
Well, Russian's just like an angrier version of German.
It's so hard. No, it's not even angry. It's just, it's an entirely different alphabet, is what's hard about it.
Oh yeah, I do know that. I do know
And
it's a different alphabet.
some of their letters look like our letters, but they're not.
How deceptive.
Anyway, ensemble casts.
Yes.
I
Ensemble cast from the
well,
podcasting straight from the Kremlin.
we're both in a Russian prison. That's not funny. People are really going to jail for being gay in Russia, and it's like not funny. Guys, donate to stuff, okay?
Yeah, I was gonna say if we keep talking like this, we are gonna end up in a Russian prison.
Stay woke, 8-year-olds.
I forgot about that.
You forgot about my iconic tagline?
Well, I forget all of our taglines.
That's true. We're really bad at, like, having running.
Gags.
I don't know. I don't care. So, what are we defining as an ensemble cast? Because I feel like I went back and forth, like while I was making my list, I kind of went back and forth to myself a couple times, and I was like, what really is an ensemble cast? You know? I mean, like, I think, like, Orange is the New Black is kind of like the main example I can think of, but also, like, there is a main character to it.
Yeah.
Right?
See, well, that's the thing with ensemble casts. It's becoming like harder to like define, because I feel like ensemble casts have become a lot more popular these days with the amount, especially with shows that we watch, because I feel like both of us gravitate towards ensemble casts.
Yeah.
But, like, I would, because the thing with ensemble casts, or just shows in general, is when they're formulating them, even if it is an ensemble cast, they want one actual main character that they could define as the main character if they had to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, so I would define it as, like, a show that has multiple characters that we always focus on.
Go
so,
back to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So they all equally have the same amount of screen time.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of how I was thinking about it, too.
Yeah. So, since we started talking about Orange is the New Black, we might as well start there.
I guess so.
Talk about skip intro button. Because I did that all season.
Regina Spektor is an icon.
But after yeah. 7 seasons, I'm tired of hearing this.
I also do skip that one. I have not seen a lot of it recently, so forgive me on my not catching up with things, but I have not seen it. And I was like, oh, I saw blah blah season, and then I went over to my friend's house and they were watching it, and I was like, what is this the new one? And they were like, no, it's blah blah season. And I was like, I have not fucking seen this. So apparently I haven't seen a lot of it.
You know, I do the same thing with American Dad, like, especially the latter seasons. There'll be like a random episode and I'll be like, wait, when was this? I'll be like, oh, this was this season. And I'm like, I've seen every episode in this season but that one. How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's the thing with Orange is the New Black is there's, like, so much stuff that happens that, especially since it only comes out once a year, you easily forget what may have happened the season before that.
So I feel like Orange is the New Black is an example of an ensemble cast working against the show in a way, because I feel like there's so many stories happening and they keep adding on new stories and new characters, which is like great. And I think it is like, it keeps you interested in a certain aspect, but it also, like, for me, I know that I lost interest because it was like too many storylines.
Yeah. I mean, I can agree with that, especially because there are certain characters that you get, like, invested in and they'll, like, go away.
Yeah.
Because with this,
Like, what's-his-face just fucking left to fucking do,
How to Get Away with Murder?
Murder.
Yeah! He just, like, fucking left Daya and you're just like, what's going on?
Literally, I was like, this is fucking bullshit.
That's one particular point that has always stuck in my craw.
Yes, 100%. Me too. I'm like, there is no way that your scheduling was that tight. You could have done both, bitch. Okay? Don't
lie to me.
I don't know how Hollywood works at all, but guess what? I have opinions.
I have opinions and you're gonna listen to them, damn it. No, I always was like, It never made sense even for his character to do that. It was just like, he was so adamant about being like, I'm a nice guy, I love you, I'm gonna make this work, we're gonna raise this child or whatever. And then he just like, fucking disappears.
I think that was my main gripe with it, is like, that would have been the one instance where I was like, I would have wanted him to be killed off.
Yes.
Leaving the show, because I don't think it fit the character to leave. I think it would have made a lot more sense if he had died.
Yeah. This is technically an ensemble cast. I mean, this other show, like, Teen Wolf was technically an ensemble cast, but I was thinking about how Allison on that show died, mm-hmm. and how a bunch of fans were upset. They were like, oh, they killed her off and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, do you guys watch the show? Because she would literally, that character would have never left. She would have had to have been murdered to leave the show.
Yeah.
Which fucking happened. They had to kill her off because that was the only way that she would leave the show. Like, that character would leave the show.
Yeah.
Because I think they draw comparisons between her and Jackson because they're like, oh, well, Jackson's character got to live. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a whole different scenario in and of itself.
Jackson is an asshole, and I believe that he would have just peaced out, you know?
Yeah, but the behind the scenes of that is, like, Jeff Davis had two different versions of the end of season two where he was going to kill Jackson, but then decided to have him live, and then fucking Colton Haynes was like, yeah, I'm gonna leave the show to go do Arrow.
Right.
And that's what happened, and I'm just like, well, fuck, we should have just fucking killed him to begin with.
Yeah, honestly.
But anyway, Orange is the New Black. Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. That show does have a lot of characters, and I feel like sometimes it does work against them because the most recent season, they introduced more characters and whatnot because they go to, like, Supermax or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or Maximum Security Prison, whatever the hell. Excuse me. And they introduce all these new characters and whatnot, and there was one character that they introduced that I don't think she was a good actress, per se, because, like, a lot of the stuff that she would be doing, I'm like, you know, like, when you watch people act and you're like, when they become the character, you believe it? It's like, I didn't believe it necessarily with her, because there were certain instances where I did, but then there were other ones where you're like, I can tell you're acting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, where she was supposed to be mad, and they were like, you're supposed to be mad, and she's just like, I'm angry! And I just hit some stuff, I'm upset!
Yeah.
And you're just like, alright, I guess.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like a lot of people dropped off after that one death, like when they killed Pusey.
I think that's when I dropped off. Yeah, I gotta be honest.
Yeah.
Which is a death I don't feel like was justified. And the reason I don't feel like it was justified is because I read, like, the showrunners or whatever, like, their explanation, and they were like, oh, like, we just wanted to remind everyone that, like, prison sucks. And like, we fucking know that, dude. Like, what? Like, you couldn't let the one black queer character just live? You couldn't just let her go? Like,
no one survived.
Yeah, it was like, we wanted to be realistic. I was like, okay, like, I don't know. I didn't like their explanation for why they killed her.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate, I guess, and be like, because I kind of did get it in the sense where I was like, they were trying to, with this show, because especially with, like, the first, like, two seasons or so, or I'll just say the show in general, they always try and say something with the way that they're portraying the legal system, like, the prison system. Like, especially with, like, the corporation buying the prison and turning it into, like, a for-profit prison, basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get what they're doing because they're trying to, like, show these things. And they're also trying to, like, parallel the climate of what was happening. Like, because, I mean, there was that guy who was, like, killed. It was like, I can't breathe and whatnot. I can't remember his name, though.
Oh, yeah. Except I felt like that was a good... I feel like they did that well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the death...
The real guy's name? The real guy who died who said, I can't breathe?
Yeah. I don't remember his name.
Eric Gardner?
Oh. See, I'm a terrible black person. I don't remember.
I think that's his name. I'm a terrible...
Me, I'm like, oh, there's just so many of us who just keep dying. I can't remember our names.
I shouldn't be laughing, and I shouldn't have laughed at the Russian prison joke either.
It's okay. We're going to hell. We already know that.
Gosh, but here we are. You know, if we can't laugh, what can we do?
If we can't laugh on our way to hell, what can we do?
Guys, stay woke.
Eight-year-olds.
Okay? Donate your time. Donate your money.
Donate your livers to the black market.
What?
It's to donate your livers to the black market.
Yes. Yeah, no, I feel like they did that. They did that death pretty well.
I can agree. Because I don't think they had any other deaths, aside from V in season two.
That was amazing.
That was honestly the best thing. Because I remember everyone after that season was over was debating. They were just like, is she really dead, though?
She just fucking plowed her over with her car.
I know, I love that. It was like Rosa escapes, literally driving in a getaway car, sees her, hits her, and just keeps driving.
So good.
I love the fact that show has like some really good dark humor like that. That's
yeah. Yeah, I just feel like the first couple of seasons were, like, they were just very tight. Like, they were tightly done. Everybody's storylines, everybody who got written off or left or whatever, like, it was, like, wrapped up very nicely. And, like, I feel like they just started to lose that thread a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I was, weirdly enough, just talking about this the other day with a friend of ours. We were talking about how long the seasons are, because yeah. I mean, the season isn't even that long. It's like 13 episodes, which is, you know, a normal show, but
aren't the episodes like an hour and some?
Yes, every single episode is exactly an hour or something, and it's like you could have cut out 20 minutes, because there's some of the stuff that happens where I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, sometimes the whole 42 minutes of cable television works.
Yeah.
Like, writers, take a note.
Yeah, because we're, like, again, talking about how the ensemble cast will work against it, because they have all these characters, they feel the need to, like, show us other aspects of their lives, like the guards and stuff will know about their personal lives and whatnot. Yeah. And I mean, I get it, because they're trying to humanize them. They're, like, these people aren't bad people. A lot of them are just doing their jobs. But, you know. Right. At the same time, I'm like,
ugh. Yeah.
I don't care.
Ugh. Vomits. It's like when fucking it's like, oh, not all cops are bad. My uncle's a cop. Like, fuck your uncle.
Well, fuck your uncle specifically.
Anyway, you know what I just drew a comparison to, though, is one of the most iconic ensemble casts of all time, Lost.
True. I totally forgot about that show.
And and the way that it's kind of like, oh, all these people are contained in this area, but then we're going to show all of their stories and how they came there.
Yeah. I mean, I've never actually watched Lost. My friend was watching Lost because her boyfriend told her to watch it. And then what was funny is she was watching it, and I refused to watch it with her. Well, also partly because she was, like, in season two or something, and I'm like, well, I can't just, like, jump on. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think Lost is a little bit overrated. I've seen, like, four seasons of it, and I got bored.
I've seen four whole seasons.
Well, that's me. yeah, I've seen an amount of episodes of Lost.
I mean, I can't fault you, because I've literally watched all of that HBO show, Carnival. Like, I watched both seasons of it, hated every second of it, but still watched the entirety of it. Why? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, yeah. What else are we doing with our lives?
True. No, the funny thing about Lost, though, although I have never actually watched an episode, I think I've seen, like, the opening of Lost, and that's it. Mm-hmm. It, except I did watch the series finale.
Yeah, that's kind of all you need to know.
I watched the series finale because everyone was hyping it up. Much like how I watched the series finale of Friends for no reason when I was in middle school when it ended.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I just did. And I remember watching the finale of Lost and being like, oh, okay. And I'm like, yeah. Do I really even need to watch the rest of the show if this is what the end game? Because it's like, no. To me, I feel like it was very Cradle to the Grave.
Yeah. I mean, in like, in the seasons that I did watch, I did really enjoy, it was good character writing in that it was like, they presented all the characters in a certain way, and then they, like, broke down all your expectations mm-hmm. of those characters with, like, how they acted both on the island and in their backstories. And they also, like, it was very good, like, character dynamics. Like, that's, it's one of the best, like, oh, this, like, these characters change because of their environment or because of their relationships. So I think that's what I got out of what I've seen of Lost is pretty good character writing. But other than that, overrated.
Other than that, overrated.
Yeah. You also, I'm gay for Evangeline Lilly, so.
I mean,
she wears a tank top for, like, most of the series. So.
I do want to talk about, because, I mean, I know you don't watch this show, but I watch it. The Magicians. I mean, I've been trying to make you watch this show, but you won't watch it.
Yeah, I know. I'll get to it eventually. Hey, I did just start Voltron, which you had been trying to get me to watch for literally years.
True. So I may be wearing you down.
Yeah, so The Magicians, I can't even say it.
I mean, it's going into its fourth season, so you've got, like, some time.
There are some people that I follow on Tumblr that reblog stuff from it, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know why you haven't watched it, because we both like supernatural stuff and also like magic, and this is right up our alley.
I don't know why I haven't watched it either, other than now it's just become a long-standing thing of me not watching it.
True. But they do have a great ensemble cast on that show.
Mm-hmm.
This is a show that I think does the ensemble cast really well, because they give each character an equal amount of time, except for, there's literally one character who I don't think gets enough screen time or development.
Well, there's always that one.
Yeah. But I don't know why they don't, like, I don't know. Maybe they will in this upcoming season, because some of the stuff that they've been putting, like the promotional stuff that they've been putting out talking about the season, I feel like they may give her a little bit more of a development. But this show has, like, it has a good, like, entry point, because the main, who you would deem the main character is the entry point for the show,
mm-hmm.
Who is Quentin Coldwater. And he's an interesting character in the sense that he's an optimist, but also, like, a depressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's depressed. Like, one of the main things that you find out about him in the very beginning is, like, he's tried to kill himself before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I can't remember, it's like he's tried to do it multiple times and has been unsuccessful or something like that. Like, he had just gotten checked out of, like, a mental hospital for trying to kill himself or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the entry point is, like, he finds out that he's a magician and can do magic, and, like, all of his childhood dreams basically are like, become a reality or something like that.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah, kind of something like that. Because this actually has been compared to Harry Potter. They're like, they say it's like adult Harry Potter, but
that doesn't make me want to watch it, but okay.
Yeah, I mean,
aren't there books?
Yes, there is a book trilogy.
What if I read the books and didn't watch the
I mean, that does sound like something you would do.
Yeah, it does.
But, I mean, this is a I have to say that this is a really good show, and I think the ensemble cast is really great just because of the way that the characters interact with each other, and especially how the characters grow throughout the seasons, because watching Quentin from season one and Quentin at season three are completely different people.
Okay.
And I really enjoy that. Especially since in season three there was, like, honestly one of my favorite episodes where, because I think I've told you this before, they, like, this show has this amazing ability to pair up all of the characters, so almost every single one of the characters have had sex with each other at some point.
Oh, yeah, you have told me this.
Yeah, so it's very Grey's Anatomy in that aspect.
Sure, sure.
Oh, another ensemble cast show. Here, let me write that down. Grey's
Anatomy. I'm not talking about Grey's Anatomy.
I'm writing it anyway.
I'm not talking
about there's one episode in season three where they pair Quentin up with, what's his name? The tall homosexual whose name I just forgot.
Sure.
Oh, God, what is his name? Elliot, there we go.
Okay.
I was like, it's something simple, too, and I'm forgetting it. But he's an interesting character because he's like a lush, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He's like this tall gay who loves to drink and have a good time and party.
Oh, that's very relatable to you.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was telling you you should watch it, because the characters Elliot and Margot are very much how I would deem you and me. Because they're
I know. You keep telling me that I would love Margot. And I do love the name Margot, so.
That is true.
Yeah.
But she's actually, like, my favorite character, because she's a bitch. Like, sometimes she's a bitch for no reason other than to just be a bitch.
Those are always my favorite characters, too.
But yeah, there's a lot of really cool magic stuff that they do. They go to this far-off land because the interesting thing is it's similar to Harry Potter in the aspect that they're in a school, but they're in, like, a graduate school for magic. Okay. So there's that, and then there's also, like, a comparison to Narnia, because there's, like, this fantasy world that was a book that Quentin used to read when he was a kid, and then he, like, found out that this place was actually real.
Okay.
Also, his love interest, the interesting thing about her is, like, she has, like, a complete, like, she does, like, a couple of flips in her personality that you don't even see coming. Which I thought was really cool. So, the progression of this show has been really fun to watch. And yes, you should watch it. I'm trying to get everyone I can to watch this. This show needs more, a bigger fan base in my humble onion.
I think it is on Netflix, right?
The first two seasons are. They haven't put the third one up yet because I feel like they usually wait until it's closer to when the newest season comes out or something like that.
Okay. Well, tune back in to see if I ever watch The Magicians.
I mean, I've been waiting forever, so. Let's talk Casual, since we both just finished that one.
Yeah. Casual's been one that I think you and I have watched together for a long time, right? Didn't we watch season one together?
I think we did. I think so.
Back in the days of the snake pit?
Yes. I think we did, actually. But I remember when we first started watching it, I loved it because of the way that the characters were. It's like a very unconventional romantic comedy series, kind of.
Yeah. Well, I keep forgetting when I'm watching it, because the stories are so based around family, I keep forgetting that, like, it's a show about, like, relationships, like, romantic relationships, and, like, but it's both. It's, like, obviously about the family, because they're the cast, but, like, they're the characters, but it's also, like, very much about being at different stages of your life and being at different stages of relationships. You know, like, when it first starts out, it's like, Alex. He's a bachelor. He's always been a bachelor. He's always, you know, just bouncing around with women. And then you have Val, who's, like, divorced. And then you have Laura, who's, like, just discovering how she is,
yeah,
you know, with relationships.
Wait, was Val actually divorced when the show started, or was she going through a divorce? Because I thought she was, like, going through a divorce because her and her husband were separated.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't remember, but yeah.
Yeah, they might have, actually, now that you mention it, I think they might have been divorced because the husband started dating some other girl, like, in season one.
So they're definitely either, like, separated and, like, going through it, or, like, very freshly divorced.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he's already dating the Asian woman, who I forget her name.
Yeah, do they, like, break up at some point or something? Because I feel like she disappears.
I think they just stopped writing her. I don't remember if they broke up.
Yeah, well, they stopped writing the husband as well after a certain point.
Yeah. He comes back in, like, a minute for season four.
Which is all I need from him, because I didn't like him as a character.
Oh, yeah, same. He's like Chet from Unreal to me. I'm like,
He was definitely the reason for the dissolution of his marriage.
Yeah, but I mean, as you go along, you do see, like, shit that Val has to work out too. Like,
yeah,
they're all really fucked up.
Yeah, that's, I think that was really what I liked about Casual, is that it was never one specific person who was responsible for anything. It's like, it very much showed the different sides of of relationships, where it's like, it's never just one whole one person in general. It's multiple people. Kind of like how with Alex, when he gets into a relationship, he kind of becomes obsessive.
Yeah. I have a lot of mixed feelings about Alex, honestly. Like, about the way that they, like, wrote his relationships, and then the way that they, like, wrote the end of his character.
Mm-hmm.
I have mixed feelings about it. I don't know.
Okay, I kind of need to know these feelings, because I know when they were first writing him and his relationships, I was waiting for him to kind of grow up. Because the thing with him is, I feel like he was looking for these more serious adult relationships, but he wasn't in the right frame of mind for them.
But he never was. Like, I think what was funny about Alex is, like, they would always write that he, like, wanted to be in a relationship or, like, whatever, but, like, I don't think he ever did. You know? Like, I think, like, it was just, he was, like, one of these weird characters that I was, like, if you are a real person, I would sit you down and say, if you wanted to really be in a relationship, you would be in a goddamn relationship. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I thought was the interesting thing about him, is that he always came off to me as a hopeless romantic. Because you remember in the first season where he, like, his whole thing was he developed that dating website and whatnot, and he had, like, a fake profile and his real profile. And the fake profile was to, like, garner attention, and then his real profile never actually got attention, because that was him showing him his real self to people. Mm-hmm. And it did show that, I thought it really showed that true dynamic of, you kind of have to, like, lie to make yourself more marketable to be dateable.
Yeah.
But if you really showed your true self and told people who you really are and what you really wanted, they'd be like, well, fuck off.
Yeah. So I think the thing about Alex, to me, is, like, I loved how conflicting of a character he was. Like, he would fight against himself. Like, half of him was, like, bachelor who just wants to be free, and the other half was, like, hopeless romantic. But I don't feel like we ever sorted out exactly what he needed or wanted. Like, I felt like, I think my conflicting feelings with, like, the way season four went, and I'm not unhappy with the way that it went for him. Like, I think it's like, yeah, great, good for you. But I feel like we never, with him, we never actually came to a full conclusion of, like, what he wanted or needed. Like, I think it just happened to him, and he was like, yeah, okay, I'm doing this.
Well, I think, like, what he wanted was he wanted to be in a relationship with someone who wanted him as much as he wanted them. But what he needed was to stop looking for kind of that validation in other people. But I don't think he ever really came to that conclusion.
Yeah, like, I felt... No, I think you're very right. I just think we never clearly got... I don't know.
Yeah.
I felt like with Val and with Laura, they both, at the end of season four, it was like, okay, they have sorted out what they wanted, and maybe they're not, like, settled, or maybe they're not, like, where they're going to be for the rest of their lives, but they have kind of reached, like, good points as characters and as people. And with Alex, I felt like stuff happened to him and he just, like, rolled with it and then convinced himself that he was happy doing that.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting... Well, yeah. Go ahead and say what you were going to say.
No, I just, like, sometimes with, like, characters that, like, if you're going to make me watch this character for four seasons and make me invested, I want to see that character make actions for themselves by the end of the show. You know what I mean? Instead of, like, reacting to situations. And I felt like in Alex's case, when it reached the end of season four, he was still just reacting to his surroundings. Well, and I know he made an active choice, but I don't know. These are my conflicting feelings.
Well, wasn't it always whenever he did make a choice, there were always bad decisions anyway? Like, he would always make the wrong choice. Or he would, like, mistake things. Kind of like...
Yeah.
Well, especially in season four with, like, his relationship with Ray. He, like, mistook a lot of things.
Yeah. Which... Yeah. I guess so. I don't know. And then, like, was it the right choice to leave and go to Austin? I don't know. There we go.
Well, I guess that's life. it was the right choice for him. Because he needed to be... He wanted to keep his family together. Well, see, that's another thing. Because you were saying, like, how a lot of this show was based on not just relationships, but also, like, family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the relationship that you have with family. And for Alex, all he ever had was his sister. And then when she had Laura, he had Laura. Like, mm-hmm. So they were always just that unit of three because you saw their parents. They were fucked up. Mm-hmm. Which is probably why he had so many relationship issues, is because he never had a good example for that. Which is interesting because Val was almost the opposite way, where she was, like, in that relationship and whatnot, but she wasn't sure if that's even what she wanted.
Right.
So she was, like, a good foil for him because she had what he didn't, but she was like, I don't even know if I want this, though.
Exactly. Yeah, their character stories and arcs played so well off of each other, like, constantly throughout the show. I felt like, I mean, like, their dynamic was always interesting to watch, but I always really enjoyed how they, like, played their story arcs against each other.
Yeah. I think what's funny when we came to the end of season four is I liked Laura a lot more than I had liked her throughout the entirety of the series, because...
Oh my, yes.
Laura,
thank God you grew the fuck up.
Yeah, because I always wanted to like her, but she was just all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, her leaving the guy after he said he wasn't dying is completely iconic and relatable, but, like, she just annoyed me for, like, three seasons, well, two and a half seasons. I felt like in season three, I started to to become sympathetic towards her a little bit more. I felt like season three we were getting a lot more of who she actually was.
Yeah. I just never...
Before it was like she really came into her own.
Yeah, I just never understood what the hell Laura was looking for. Because
she... Well, I think that was the thing about her character, was like she didn't know what the fuck she was looking for either.
Yeah, she was kind of like Alex in that sense, where she would just like happen into these like relationships and just keep going with it.
Yeah, well, I think they did a good job of drawing parallels between her and Alex, and showing how she and Val were dissimilar, and how she and Alex were similar.
Yeah,
they always drew parallels between them.
Yeah. Although, I've literally will never get over her breaking up with that guy after he said he wasn't dying, because I was like, this is literally the most fucked up thing someone can do.
That's like my favorite Laura moment. Like,
he's like, I'm not dying of cancer. She's just like, cool, I want to break up.
I gotta go.
Because I was hoping this relationship had an expiration date with you just dying at the end.
Literally. And then she got that tattoo. Oh my god.
And then she tried to like trick her parents into like paying for it.
Yes, that was so... No, paying for it to get removed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh, Laura.
Yeah, oh, Laura. But yeah, no, I did really like her in season four.
I knew you would. When I was watching this, I was just like, oh, Grace is going to love her in this season.
Well, her haircut is the same haircut that I had in, like, freshman year of college, so, you know.
That's really funny, because I definitely thought you were going to like her haircut. Yeah, I was like, looks like a Grace haircut.
Yeah, no, I literally had that haircut. There are photos. Yeah, no, I enjoyed... I at first didn't like the girlfriend, but after she came back around a second time, I was like, okay, this is fine, this is healthy.
Yeah, I didn't like her at first because she just felt flippant.
It felt... So the thing about that annoyed me is that the issues they were having felt like a heterosexual couple's issues. It was like...
Issues have no sexuality.
What?
Issues have no sexuality.
Well, it was like, oh, we're not communicating. And I was like, okay. Like, it was just like a very like run-of-the-mill issue.
Oh, I actually thought it was like them not being in a committed relationship. That's what I thought, that's what that was.
No, they, like, weren't communicating correctly because, like, Laura, like any good baby lesbian, thought that they were going to immediately move in together upon coming back to America. And the girlfriend was like, no, I need my space. And I was like, I feel like you would just say that to each other.
Yeah, but you know us gays, we're terrible at communication. It's because we spend so much of our adolescence not knowing how to, like, not literally knowing our sexuality, and then trying to figure out, like, who you can actually, like, be with. And then after that, you just... That's why... I think that's why that whole lesbian trope is so, like, popular, with them moving too fast and whatnot. It's because it's, like, no one wants to be in the beginning stages of a relationship. You just want to jump into the middle.
Well, that's true. U-hauling is real, y'all.
I would never do that because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like at some point I would be like, I want you to leave.
Oh yeah, I was definitely relating to the girlfriend in that scenario. I was like, get out of my house.
Yeah, like when when Laura or Val brought over the dishes and whatnot, and then she was just like, so what's that? Is that your shit? Because that's not supposed to be in my house.
Yeah. Anyway, I did cry at the end of season four.
I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
It was very emotional.
What was funny was, like, I was, like, I felt like half the time watching it, I was, like, oh, this is just, like, rich white people problems. Like, it literally is. Like, they're just complaining about how much money they all have and how privileged they are. And they're annoying me. And then we get to the points where it's, like, really about family and shit, and I get all, like, up in my feelings.
Relatable. No, I feel like what's really funny about me being emotional at the end is him moving out of that house, and I was like, I love that house.
Oh, yeah, literally same. I was like, why would you? I actually thought that Val and Laura were gonna move into the house.
Me too! And then they didn't, and I was very upset about that. I was like, at least give the house to Laura. Shit. Emotional.
Yeah, when she was, like, talking about her childhood, like, how, not her childhood bedroom, but, like, how she used to live in the bedroom where the daughter was now. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, I do. I'm like,
No, that was like a good emotional moment where she was like, oh, I used to live here in my, like, teen angsty years. And it was like, oh, yeah, I remember season one.
Oh, yeah.
No, actually, my favorite moment in season four was when she was going to, like, go apologize to the girlfriend or whatever, and she was, like, going to her apartment door, and they just, like, flashbacked to all of her previous relationships. And how fucked up they went. And I was like, this is hilarious.
That was funny. And then, like, when they opened the door and her gay friend was just like, what the fuck is she doing? Is she a goddamn model? Because if she's not, tell her to go away.
Ugh, so funny.
Anyway, so we've been talking about The Casual for a while. Obviously, we loved the show, so you should watch it.
Yeah, I love Casual. It's like, hits the right spot tonally for me.
Yeah, because it was a good in-between. Because I think we both talked about how, like, because we watched this show and You're the Worst, and they're kind of almost like companion series to me.
They're very tonally similar, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're both like rom-com series. But yeah, You're the Worst is very different.
I mean, You're the Worst is more like, being in your late 20s, early 30s is hard, and yeah. But yeah.
You're right. But yeah. So, I think we should switch over to something funny now, just to bring the tone up. Let's talk It's Always Sunny, our favorite ensemble cast show.
Sure. It's Always Sunny.
Yes. It's Always Sunny, I feel like everyone has seen at least an episode or so.
Yes.
Because it's been on forever.
It has. It really has.
Oh, actually, do you know I read something recently that apparently the longest running comedy series has never made it past, like, 14 seasons?
What was it?
I don't know. I think it was, like, one of the older shows. It definitely wasn't something from, like, the 90s that I can remember.
Okay.
I think it might have been something like Cheers or something like that.
That's interesting.
And Charlie Day was saying that he wants the show to make, like, to have 15 seasons just so that they could beat that record.
That's really funny. Do they not count SNL in that, I guess? Is it just, like, scripted shows, you mean?
Yeah. I don't think they can't count SNL in that because, I mean, SNL's been on for God knows how long. And yeah, it's
literally eons.
And it's also not consistently funny.
At SNL.
there was literally that last episode with Tina Fey. I was very disappointed in because usually every time she's on, it's a riot. And that whole episode, I did not laugh.
The last episode I saw of it was the one where Bill Hader was on, and it was actually hysterical. I don't know if you saw it.
I didn't.
It's actually very funny.
I've never been like a huge fan of Bill Hader, but like I've come around to him recently.
He's an odd duck.
He is an odd duck.
Speaking of odd ducks, It's Always Sunny is a good show and is a good ensemble cast. I feel like there is no main character for sure. I mean, I guess you could say Dennis, but...
No, I wouldn't even say Dennis. Like, because...
I don't know why I would say Dennis. I feel like...
Is it because he seems like the ringleader?
I guess. Or, like, I mean, he definitely thinks he is.
Yeah.
That's, like, Dennis's whole fucking character.
That is very true.
He thinks he's in charge. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like because when it... I feel like when the show starts, like, in the earlier seasons and stuff, Dennis is, like... the most seems like the most grounded. Like Dennis seems like the most normal, and then the rest of them are kind of like out there.
Yeah, and then we find out that Dennis is fucking insane.
The worst. Yeah.
Yeah, that Dennis is actually a sociopath.
He really is.
Like. I think specifically, I'm thinking about that one episode where he was mad at that hippie, and he was like, I'm gonna sleep with your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. That was insane.
Yeah. That's literally, like, that episode reads like the diary of a madman.
Yep.
There's so many great episodes.
Isn't that the one where there's, like, a terrifying sex scene with him? Is that the one where they have, like, the drug-induced...
Oh, and he's, like, sweaty and shit, and it's, like, really...
I never, ever... Oh, it's, like... God, no.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of that Phil Collins album cover.
Oh my god, I literally knew you were going to talk about.
How did you know? How did you know?
Because you've brought that up like several times.
An absurd amount of times. I can agree with that. I mean, it is a horrifying album cover.
It is.
And I have it on vinyl, so it's even bigger. So to look at it, I hate looking at it whenever I pick it up. It's a great album, but it's a terrifying cover.
Yeah, it is. It's bad.
I don't know who greenlit that.
At Phil Collins. It's bad. But...
Oh, he knows. He knows.
He knows what he did. Yeah, Dennis, I can say, by far, is my least favorite character. Part of me hopes he does not come back in this new season. I would love to see what happened to the other characters if he did not come back.
Yeah, I think I saw that he is going to, but I'm not sure.
Yes, I did see that as well, but whatever.
I know. The thing is, I don't think they can make the show. Well, they could probably make the show without him, but it would be a completely different, like, power there would be a power vacuum without Dennis around.
I kind of want it to be I kind of want there to be one episode where he's not in it. Like, I want the season premiere to be like, oh, this is what all the characters are doing without Dennis, and like they're all like thriving. I would love that.
I feel like D specifically would be thriving.
Oh, definitely. Poor D.
Ah, I know. Dee's my favorite character. I love her.
Yeah, she's hands down the best.
I mean, I also... My favorite episodes were either ones where she was a huge focus or, like, the ones where her and Charlie were together.
Yes, because they are so funny together.
Because they're so ridiculous. Like, the one where they were, like, eating... They thought they were eating human flesh.
Yes.
Was that the same one where they were also on cocaine? Or is that a different one?
That is a different one.
Oh. But that one was also funny.
Yeah.
You know, literally one of my favorite episodes is the gang goes on welfare.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, my favorite episode. Also, I just remembered that they, in one of the later seasons, they did, like, a reprise of that whole episode where they tried to go on welfare a second time.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was like, wasn't it like Frank fell out the window and then thought he was in, like, in the past or something?
Yeah, it was so like he thought he was in 2007 or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, they, like, repeat all these old episode plot lines. That was a good one. There was, is that the same season where they do, like, the one where they go to the other bar that's, like, really bright and cheery, and they, like, it's basically a whole take on, like, other comedy shows and how, like, how other comedy shows get awards, but, like, It's Always Sunny has never gotten an award because it's all dark and grungy.
No, it might be, but honestly, I don't remember that episode. There's a lot of episodes in the latter seasons I haven't seen because, honestly, I should probably watch that because I've been trying to rewatch that show, but I keep forgetting to continue to do it.
You should definitely watch that episode. It's so good. They basically try to, like, imitate what the other bar is doing, and it, like, fails so hard. It's so funny.
As it does with them every time they try and do something.
Yeah, well. And then there's also one where they do a take on Birdman. And they do, like, they edit it so it's one continuous shot. It's so good.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm really missing out on some of the latter season episodes.
Yeah, you should. Oh, this is a role reversal. Usually it's me that hasn't seen.
It is. It usually is you, but it is tis I this time.
Yeah, another one of my favorites. I just have to mention my favorite episode, which is The Gang Misses the Boat. Because it's the one where they, like, all split up, basically. And, like, so they, like, the first part of the episode, they try to get their scheme for the episode is that they're, like, gonna try to get on this boat party, this, like, fancy yacht party. And, like, Dee is dressed as, like, a sea captain. She's got, like, a mustache and beard. And, like, then they basically miss the boat for, like, the boat party, and then they, like, Dennis drives the Range Rover into the ocean. And then, or into the lake or whatever.
Oh, wait, is that the one where he was trying to sell his car?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
In the lake.
I do vaguely remember that episode. I think I just forgot the beginning of it.
It is so good because it's such a, like, good, like, commentary on, like, all of their, like, roles within the gang, because they, like, basically they, like, split up. I'm doing air quotes. They all, like, split up, and then they all have their, like, own little individual adventures, and it's basically, like, they can't survive on their own. Yeah, it's a good time. That's my favorite episode.
I don't know why that reminded me of the one where they were trying to, I think Dee was going to go somewhere, and then they were all like, oh, we're all going to go. And then they had, like, that U-Haul thing that was in the back.
Oh. So they want to take a road trip to the Grand Canyon, and they, like, try to steal Dee's car. I think that's what that is, yeah.
And then they never even make it out of the city.
You don't even leave Philadelphia. Yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
Ugh, such a great... There's so many great episodes. Like, I love the gang set Sweet D on fire.
Yes.
That one where they were... Where Dennis and D were like, oh, we're gonna become club kids. That was such
and they
a...
end up, like, addicted to, like, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, no, my favorite running gag is how Dennis is addicted to crack.
Yep.
Like, that whole season where, oh, no, wait, I just remember my favorite episode of It's Always Sunny is the one where they get stuck in that house. Where the whole gang gets stuck in that house and they're just, like, in different closets in the whole house.
Yes. And then the family comes out at the end and they're Chinese.
Yeah, because they have, like, these heavy fucking southern accents. So you just assume they're white and they're, like, fucking Asian.
That's a good episode.
I know. I love it because I think my favorite line in the whole thing is when Because Frank has that fucking Indiana Jones whip. And then they were just like, oh, the little girl is coming your way. He was just like, I'll whip the little bitch in the face. It's so funny.
Oh, my God.
There's so many great episodes of that show.
So many good one-liners.
See, now we're going to have to do, like, a whole episode where we just talk about It's Always Sunny. And we can do our, like, favorite episodes. Because by then I will have probably watched the whole thing so I can have an actual comprehensive list.
We can do top 10 It's Always Sunny eps. And then we can also talk about how much we hate AP Bio.
Well, that's a given. Glenn Howerton, stick to what you're good at.
Glenn Howerton, tweet at us. It's Always Sunny. I feel like it's not for everyone. Like, the humor...
Oh, no. It's very dark, but it's also literally... It is good. It is the absolute chaotic evil of comedy.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think there's any show on TV that will ever be like it. There is nothing that is that wild.
Yeah.
Because they get into the most ridiculous stuff. Like, that one episode where they went to that wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the tape of the wedding looked like a fucking zombie apocalypse.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that wedding
also
was
over. Also, shout out to Artemis, my other favorite character.
My name is Artemis, and I have a bleached ass.
She is so iconic. She's, like, in one of the first episodes, too. As like, she just, like, she's, like, one of the continuing...
Yeah, she's my favorite.
...long-standing characters.
She's my favorite recurring character that they've ever had.
Yeah.
What's also funny is she was on Scandal as, like, the vice president.
Yes!
And then when I saw that, I was just like, Artemis with a bleached asshole is out here as vice president of America.
Oh, my God.
Nothing but respect for my vice president.
For my vice president and her bleached asshole.
That's a campaign I can get behind.
I love her. Alright, what's next? Do you want to talk about Marvel's Runaways?
That's so funny. I was just looking at that. Yes, mm-hmm. Let's talk about Runaways.
Sure.
I love it. I love the fact that this is... Because we were just talking about how... Because we were just talking about, when we were talking about nostalgia cartoons, we were talking about the placement of the characters and how it's, like, every single one of them is of a different race. And on this show, it doesn't feel odd or, like, a Benetton ad, but it's mainly because of where it's set, which is in California.
Sure, but I think also they don't overdo it where they, like... Like, they don't overdo the fact that each character is that race, and they also naturally weave the fact in, like, they weave it well into the storyline, I think is what I'm trying to say. Like,
yeah.
I think that's why it feels natural, because they make it part of the character, but they don't make it the only thing about the character.
Yeah. Okay, do you know what confused me the entirety of the time I was watching it, though?
Yeah.
Gert and her parents. I'm like, Gert is so brown, and her parents are lily white. What the fuck's happening?
I think Gert is just tan.
Is that what it is? Is she just tan? Is she adopted? What is it? I don't know.
Well, wait, aren't her and her sister both adopted?
I don't know if Gert is adopted. They've never... said anything about it. They make it seem like Gert is their biological child, but I know that Molly is adopted because her parents died, so they adopted her.
Good question. I don't know. I think she's just tan.
I'm gonna have to wiki this.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with tan. I haven't seen anything of the original comics, but from what I've heard, they do a good job of translating it into live action.
Yeah, I actually heard that in the well, I don't know if I heard this or whatever, but isn't in the comics, like, Gert, her character dies?
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Spoilers for the comics.
Is it really? Because they put that out there with, like, there was, I don't know, because this happened, like, when the season first aired or something. I saw an article that came out, and they were like, they made one significant change to the series that was in the comics, and fans actually really love it. Because I feel like if her character died, I would be a little less interested.
Yeah, she's definitely one of the... When I first watched it, I think she was, like, one of the...
draws for the show?
Yeah, she was... As it went on, I don't know if I, like, totally enjoyed her character the whole time. But I think something I also like about the show is that they are teenagers, and they make them feel like very real teenagers. Like, as opposed to shows with, like, with Teen Wolf and stuff, where that's, like, they feel like teenagers doing adult stuff.
Yeah.
And in this show, it's like, I feel like this is actually how teenagers would react to this shit happening to them.
I agree. I definitely agree. Because the way that... I'm trying to think of, like, Alex, for example.
Yeah.
The way that he reacts when he finds out that his parents are doing what they're doing, their nefarious activities...
Sure.
He, like, I feel like he reacts in the normal way that a teenager probably would. I mean, he goes a little, he may go a little more than I feel like a normal teen would, but it, at least, like, his emotional reaction to it felt genuine, where he felt like there was this huge distrust.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, where it's kind of, like, I feel like every teenager's, like, secret fantasy of, like, feeling disconnected from their parents, and, like, their parents are, like, doing crazy secret things that are, like, evil. Like, you know.
You're like, oh, that's why. That's why me and my mom don't get along.
Because she murders people. Yeah, no, I feel, like, all the characters to me feel very real. And I also like that, I think... this is like a not a spinoff, but like this is a jut off of the X-Men universe, right?
Is it?
It's like somehow really, I mean, it's Marvel, but
yeah,
it's somehow related to the X-Men universe, I think.
Oh, I'll have to look into that, because I know with Marvel, like, basically everything takes place in the same universe.
Yeah, generally, but I think this one is like specifically the mutant sort of universe.
Okay. Because I mean, a lot of X-Men kind of, I feel like a lot of X-Men kind of takes place in its own universe, separate from a lot of the rest of the Marvel.
Yeah, it does. Because they're, like, allowed to create different timelines and stuff with that.
Yeah.
They've, like, found a way around all of it, because there's, like, 7 different universes when it comes to X-Men. I don't know.
Oh, actually, I feel like Runaways is probably... would probably be related to Cloak and Dagger.
Okay.
Because Cloak and Dagger, it feels like they're both in the same vein. Which is, okay, interesting fact. I found out that I think Runaways is going to be coming to television.
Really?
Yeah, I think they want to put it on Freeform.
Oh.
Which is also where Cloak and Dagger comes
from. I like it on Hulu, though.
I do, too. I think
it... I like streaming.
I'm not sure if it's going to do both or whatnot, because, like, because you heard that they're putting BoJack on Comedy Central, right?
I did not hear that.
Yeah. So, that's another thing. So, right. I think there's this trend coming now with, like, streaming shows maybe coming to television as well.
Interesting. Okay. All right, well, we'll see how that goes.
If anything, I think they'll probably do both things, because it's like the people who stream stuff still will be streaming it, but they're trying to reach more fans.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're like trying to reach a broader audience.
Yeah, I think that's a good draw.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's interesting. What?
No, go ahead. Because I was not about to say anything of substance. Go ahead.
Okay. What I was going to say is that I like that all of their, like, quote-unquote powers are, like, you know, it's not like Justice League or, like, whatever, where it's, like, one can fly, one can shoot lasers, the other one's invisible. Like, they have, like, very unique type powers.
Yeah, you know? Very mismatchy. It's like,
yeah,
you kind of have to try and do what you can. Because, I mean, Alex doesn't really have any ability. He's just, like, good at computers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's just the techie. And then, like, What's-Her-Face has the staff that's her mom's, like, crazy witch staff. The other girl is just a fucking alien, and Gert has a dinosaur. Like, that's just, like, their powers are, like, crazy, you know?
Yeah, and then Greg Sulkin's character has, like, he's like a Batman in that regard, where he's like, I built these gauntlets.
Yeah, he's just got fucking fists. So I like that they feel very ragtag, you know, which is,
yeah,
I think, the appeal of the show, because it's not like what we've seen before, I think.
I can agree with that. Mm-hmm. Which is what I'm, that's why I think I like Runaways and by extension Cloak and Dagger as much as I do. They've both been different versions of this superhero genre show, because they've realized that there's a lot of this superhero content out there now, so they're like, we have to make this different. How is this different? How does this stand out?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
Definitely.
I also love Greg Sulkin.
He is a man, yes.
He's a very pretty man.
He sure does have a face.
Well, I feel like I've been with Greg Sulkin for a while at this point, because, like, he was on Wizards of Waverly Place.
He was.
And then he was on that show Faking It, and I used to watch that.
Oh, yeah.
So I've just been oddly following his career by accident.
accident, sure.
Oh, it's definitely by accident.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the biggest turnoffs about him is that he dated Bella Thorne for an extensive period of time.
That's hilarious, because Bella Thorne is, as we all know, a robot and not a real person.
Oh, I was going to say a mess.
She's a mess of a robot.
What is her primary function?
To act. No, it's to look good in outfits, which she does.
That is true. I can fairly say that. Mm-hmm. Anywho, enough about Bella Thorne and how she's haunting my life.
Enough about how we're going to do a spinoff of this podcast where we talk about Famous in Love.
True. Ugh, rip. I miss it already.
Me too. What a good garbage show.
But yeah, Runaways is really annoyed me about watching it is it took so long for them to actually run away.
Yeah, they really built it up to the end of season one.
And I was like, okay, when are you?
When are they gonna run away?
Yeah, it's like a show's called Runaways, and it's like, but when does that happen?
Yeah.
Or are we just talking about the people who had been murdered and they were runaways, like...
Oh, yeah, true. I mean, they do thread that in the whole time, but...
Yeah. So I think season two will be.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how season two.
I know. I'm very interested to see what happens because that's going to be some shit.
Well, because now we're in the actual part where they run away, so. All right, were there any other major shows?
Now, I think the only other one would probably be Superstore, but I feel like we've been talking for a while, so.
Oh, Superstore, which I thought we already did for some reason. we can fit that one in.
Yeah.
Another time. I feel like we could just throw that in to some other, tack it on to some other subject.
That's true. We do have a way of doing that.
We do. Superstore is good, and everyone should watch it.
Yes. Also, fun fact, Glenn from Superstore, I was watching Spice World the other day.
Yes.
And he is in that movie.
Yes.
As the writer who's, like, narrating through, well, basically talking about Spice Girl films the entire time.
Yes, that is Mark McKinney. He used to be on Kids in the Hall, which was a Canadian sketch show produced by Lauren Michaels.
I love how you just have these facts just ready to go.
Kids in the Hall was my jam back in the day.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode.
You may know Dave Foley and or Kevin McDonald. If you looked them up, you may know them.
The names sound familiar.
I should show you some Kids in the Hall because it's twisted. It's a good time, though.
Yes.
It's like the dark, dark version of SNL.
SNL After Dark.
Yeah, it's just like a sketch show. Super insane.
Yeah, I was just blown away by that fact, though, because we were all just like, wait, is that really him? And then we're all like, wait, is that his real voice? And the answer is
whenever they make fun of Glenn's voice, it's so good.
Oh, it's always a classic. Also, America Ferrera's in it, so what more do you need?
Honestly, and the guy. Oh, I dropped my pen again.
The guy from other shows.
He was on Mad Men.
True, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Well, he also had an NBC show with the chick who ended up being the mother in How I Met Your Mother. He had that show.
Gosh. What show?
It was called Alice A to Z. Huh?
Her name is Allison Melotti.
Oh, yeah. But the show was called, like, From A to Z or something like that.
Don't know that one.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, like, a rom-com show, but it literally looked and seemed like it was a movie. And I'm like, you should have just done an indie movie instead of trying to make a show out of this. Because I can guarantee it probably would have been, like, 10 times more successful. I mean, yeah. NBC canceled it, so here we are.
Here we are.
And now you're on Superstore.
Yay.
So, anyway, that wraps it up for EnsembleCast.
Oh, you know what else he's in? Sorry. He's on Silicon Valley.
Oh, yeah, that other show that you watch that I don't.
That's a pretty good, I would say, ensemble cast.
Here, I'll add it to the list, and we can talk about it next time.
A good time.
Along with Grey's Anatomy.
We're not talking about that.
Well, I will talk about it.
I'll just talk about how great Sandra Oh is, but other than that.
It's true. I do love me some Sandra Oh. I hope
I have nothing to say about Grey's Anatomy.
I thoroughly hope that Sandra Oh gets her due and gets the fucking Emmy for Killing Eve.
I have to watch Killing Eve. I've been meaning to.
It's great. You should watch it. It has a lot of Woola Wool energy.
Yeah. That's what I've seen.
Also, who doesn't love a good, you know, female serial killer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's basically, like, what, female Hannibal?
Yeah. Because she's crazy like Hannibal. Well, she's not really a serial killer. She's a hitman.
Okay. But I mean, like, yeah. Like, I don't know, tone-wise, I don't know.
Or would it be assassin? Anyway, I'll look up the classification between hitman and assassin next time.
As always, no fact-checking is being done.
Absolutely not. Would it be us if we fact-checked? Would it be an episode of It's 2 a.m.? If there were actual facts happening?
It sure wouldn't, Chad. Well, tune in next time when we do You're the Worst.
Which is an also show with an ensemble cast.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Aya Cash will be here.
With musical guest... Lorne Michaels.
Lorne Michaels comes out with a banjo.
I love it. Needs more cowbell. As always, thanks for listening.
Okay, bye guys.
Bye.